Picture yourself on a beach, retired early and enjoying financial freedom. If this is your dream, then now's the time to level up your investing game, and Real Vision can help you. We arm you with the knowledge, the tools, and the network to succeed on your financial journey on your own terms. Take control of your future and visit realvision.com/free. That's realvision.com/free.
Crypto is growing at twice the speed of the internet in terms of adoption.
Today, I interview global macro investor Raoul Pal.
So it's the fastest adoption of any technology in any asset class the world has ever seen.
About his forecast for the crypto market in 2024.
Well, crypto gets to 1 billion people by the end of next year, 1 billion active wallets, and it gets to 4 billion by 2030.
We discuss the Bitcoin halving, the day of the Bitcoin halving. What should they expect? His Bitcoin price prediction by end of year for this cycle. How high range-wise do you see Bitcoin going? What altcoin is the next Solana?
The biggest game in town, however, is what is the Solana of this cycle?
And watch the whole interview because Raoul Pal ranks the crypto market.
No, I'm going to put Doge in A.
Really? Click the like button and let's start, Raoul, with where is crypto today?
You know, I've always been talking about this. I think the last time I spoke to you, I talked about this. There's a lovely transition that makes it easy for people to understand. It's like crypto is the best performing asset in the world for 3 years, and then it's the worst for 1 year. That first year is known as crypto spring. Sometimes it can be a bit choppy. It could be like spring. Some days it rains, some days it's sunny, but every day it gets a bit warmer. We had a pretty decent crypto spring. I mean, Bitcoin was up 150%. Then we started and we're in the process of transitioning to crypto summer. And crypto summer is when you start hitting all-time highs and things start going bananas. And we're very close to that now. You know, we've got to the all-time high in Bitcoin and we've been messing around. So whether by the time this video comes out or not, it's broken out or it hasn't, we don't know. It doesn't really matter. You know, it's pretty standard to have a chop around for a bit. And then fireworks happen. And really the fireworks truly happen when altcoin season comes. And that comes in crypto summer. And we're starting to see the first signs of that. It's been meme coin season for a while now. And I think it will drag, you know, the big memes like Doge up. And before you know it, even everybody, I find it amusing, everybody is writing off Ethereum right now. And exactly the same happened in 2020. In 2020, Ethereum was underperforming Bitcoin in spring, as it always does. Then it started basing. And then by the end of the year, it just never stopped outperforming. And I think we're in a similar kind of pattern. And that's typical of altcoin season.
Let's talk about ETH. Let's talk about Solana. But this video is definitely coming out before the Bitcoin halving. So especially for new people just entered the space in the last 6 months, the day of the Bitcoin halving, what should they expect?
Nothing. It's a coin flip between it going up and it going down. But what we do know is the supply of Bitcoin from the miners will halve. So over time, there's less new supply, and therefore the supply has to be met by existing participants selling. Now, considering about 60 to 80% of all Bitcoin holders don't sell, they just hold, there's actually quite limited supply around. So when you add in a kind of macro bull market, it tends to then tilt the supply-demand imbalance wildly in favor of demand. Not enough supply, too much demand. Add the ETF in, and that adds more FOMO. It's easier for people to get in. And before you know it, you start building this banana zone cycle. So the halving itself is a non-event. It's the signal that you're about to come into crypto summer, which happens to coincide with the presidential election years every time. And it also corresponds with what I call the everything code cycle, which is the debt refinancing cycle, which is the macro cycle. They're all the same thing. So you get this kind of powerful dynamic of politicians giving out free candy because they're going into an election stimulus. You tend to have a liquidity cycle because of the business cycle, because they have to refinance the debts of the governments. And you tend to have the Bitcoin halving, which is a reduction in supply. And that's why these periods get really quite exciting.
If / when the Federal Reserve cuts rates for the first time in years later this year, what will that mean for crypto?
I think it's been anticipated by the markets. But it just, at top level, if you think of most people who've got credit card debts or mortgages or interest payments on cars, it just makes everybody's life a little bit easier. And if you've got a little bit more discretionary spending, you might be able to put it into the market. And so at the margin, it'll help. I mean, obviously, it would help a lot if rates went down to 2%. Are they going to get there or not? Certainly not this year. Maybe next year. Depends what happens to inflation. Depends what happens on a number of different levels. But really, it's not interest rates that actually drive the world. It's liquidity. Liquidity is the money that the central banks put into the system, often in conjunction with the government, to try and generate economic growth or drive markets. And we bottomed in liquidity, I think, again, last time we spoke, back in November 2022. That was the bottom of the liquidity cycle. It happened to be the bottom of the crypto cycle and bottom of technology, because those are the forward-looking asset classes. And going forward, my work suggests that liquidity should continue to ease all the way into 2025. So therefore, if we've got rising liquidity against this backdrop, it should be positive.
And by the way, to your credit, the last time I had you on, or back in end of 2022, I asked you, are you worried about a recession coming? And you said the recession's now. You know, people are the most depressed now. It'll only get better. And you turned out to be right, to your credit. So I want to go forward thinking, maybe in a longer term time span. Are you in the Michael Saylor camp that Bitcoin will most likely hit $1 million?
Yeah. So how I back this out is two different ways. One, I just look at the log chart of Bitcoin. That trend, you can extrapolate it, and somewhere around 2030, it'll be $1 million. That sounds as ridiculous today as it did when I first bought it at $200 and I put a price projection of $100,000. I said it's actually going to $1 million, but I'm going to discount myself for being an idiot by 90%. So it cost $200. It could go to zero at that time, certainly, because that was 2013. But my price projections, 100,000. And people said, this is ridiculous. I said, it's the best macro trade of all time. So the $1 million doesn't seem that preposterous. The other way I back it out is when I look at the adoption of cryptocurrency. So you use as a proxy the number of active wallets. Now, we all know that's not a perfect proxy because people have multiple wallets. But you compare that to IP addresses for the internet. Start them at both 5 million. Now, people have multiple IP addresses as well. So it's very similar. It's just directionally gives you an idea. Crypto is growing at twice the speed of the internet in terms of adoption. So it's the fastest adoption of any technology in any asset class the world has ever seen. So if we just assume that growth slows, as it did with the internet, because once you get bigger and bigger numbers, it's hard to grow at such a rate. So it goes from, let's say, 175% a year where it's been trending, and goes to 43% a year, which is what the internet did from year 8 onwards. Well, crypto gets to 1 billion people by the end of next year. 1 billion active wallets. And it gets to 4 billion by 2030. Well, at 4 billion, the price will certainly be $1 million. So it kind of backs out from the adoption of the technology and of the log chart, because the log chart basically is the adoption of the technology.
Hey, everyone. We're going to take a quick pause and hear a word from our partners. We'll be right back.
Hi, you. Hey, listen, if you're enjoying this, come and see me on the YouTube channel, Raoul Powell, The Journeyman. Sign up there, get everything I ever do. See you there.
For this cycle, this is a question just for fun. How high, range-wise, do you see Bitcoin going?
It's difficult to know what kind of cycle we're going to be dealing with. There's a school of thought that says it's a left translated cycle, which means it goes up fast early and then peaks early. Most would finish in 2025 in December. That's normally how these crypto cycles have finished. That third year would be a December, November kind of period. So could it come earlier and peter out this year? There's definitely a probability of that. What price would that be? I would say 200,000, something like that. And that would be, okay, that's gone very far, very fast. The most likely outcome is a standard bull market. Now, the last one we had, 2020, 2021, was actually a stunted cycle because really the final leg never happened. We had a huge final leg in 2017 and an even more enormous one in 2013. But last time around, we didn't get one, which caught everybody off surprise, including myself. So somewhere that would be, you know, Bitcoin gets to, let's say, 200 to 250,000, peak somewhere between the summer and the end of the year. Okay, that seems pretty reasonable. The other probability is that we have a full bubble cycle because now there's more access to it by the ETFs. There's more acceptance. There's more regulatory acceptance. It captures more mind share. There's like 110 million Coinbase wallets and only about 10 million are active right now. So that number can go up dramatically. So we can see a huge participation and a final kind of belief that this is it. That could happen. And in which case, then you could see an extension to maybe 400,000 plus in this cycle. But I would give the short cycle and the bubble cycle roughly the same probabilities. I'm probably more erring towards the bubble cycle, but let's call them both 20% probability and 60% for something normal.
And in terms of when altcoin season starts, let me pitch this to you. Or is it when... You know, there's a wealth effect in crypto and Bitcoin. Bitcoin's hitting all-time highs. People feel wealthier. It spreads into altcoins. Is that when it starts?
Yes. And it typically starts when one of the other big layer ones starts hitting all-time highs as well. So now everybody's celebrating in the party. And everything starts getting recycled down the risk curve. Because now you're going, well, Bitcoin's at 70,000 or 80,000. And maybe it only gets to 150, so I'm only going to make 100%. I mean, in normal markets, these are crazy numbers, but in crypto, it's like only 100%, it's not worth it. So you start looking for where am I going to make 5 times or 10 times or 20 times? And that's when people go out the risk curve and it starts getting crazy and stupid stuff happens. And people make and lose fortunes. I try and navigate it by, you know, I use this expression, don't fuck this up. And really, it's because this altcoin season really has a tendency for everybody to screw up because they suddenly get the FOMO. They can't see straight. They want to use leverage. They want to make as much money as possible. They start going really far out the risk curve with all of their portfolio. They start custodying in stupid exchanges they should never do or putting money into DeFi things that they should never be involved in. And before you know it, all goes wrong. So my advice is always... Look, put 90% of your assets in these core crypto. Call it free for now. The three biggest ones with proven network effects are Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana. And think of that as a risk curve. Bitcoin the least risky, Solana more risky. It's earlier in its adoption. It should outperform, all things being equal. And then you can have 10% where you can do all the stupid shit and try and make your 100x. That will end up being your wallet of shame. You'll have a bunch of stuff that goes to zero in there that you never get rid of. But you can't do yourself damage if it's only 10%. And if you get it right, great. You're going to add, you know, another 100% onto your portfolio, but you can't mess it up by doing it. So enjoy altcoin season. Realize that it should move ETH and Solana more. So you should get some really good returns out of that. But don't overextend yourself when you go too far out the risk curve.
What is your investor's thesis for ETH this year? Given this is an institutional cycle, people like Bitcoin now, but ETH.
So if Bitcoin is the gateway drug, the RIAs, everybody else, you can kind of get your dad across the line with Bitcoin. And you can just use digital gold or, you know, store of value or something that's pretty straightforward. ETH really is the settlement layer for all of the layer twos, but also I think a lot of the financial services industry will build on top of it because it's deemed to be the safe bet. It's like using Salesforce for your CRM and other stuff. It's like using AWS, right? It's the thing you don't get fired for. Now, I think Solana will grab part of that market because of FireDancer, which is much faster. We can talk about that later. But generally speaking, ETH is the easy choice. It's like you work for a large corporation, they'll give you Microsoft Office. ETH is Microsoft Office.
Interesting. Okay. And but you think they'll ETH's the safer play, but Solana is like the easier play. So if you could, like, Solana and ETH for this cycle, what are your thoughts?
Well, the proof is in the pudding. I'm 90% Solana. That's been my big bet for this cycle. So last cycle, my bet was switching Bitcoin into ETH a little bit later in the cycle after the bottoming of that Bitcoin ETH cross. And that really paid off because it massively outperformed. And this cycle, I switched my ETH into Solana last year, about August. And that really, really paid off. And I think it continues.
And so Fire Dancer.
But the biggest game in town, however, is what is the Solana of this cycle? If you remember, Solana last cycle was huge. So was Avalanche. So was Polygon. There was a few of them that really got the narrative. And it really Solana won out that as the next big thing. The others are still fine. They've got activity and stuff going on, but not the scale of Solana. The question is what is that one of this cycle? Because you can make some real money in that bet. But this is where people start going too far out the risk curve. You really need to see what is getting some real adoption and a real narrative and real developers working around it and stuff like that. That remains to be seen, but that game is still to be played.
So I actually was going to ask you this. Besides the ETH ecosystem, besides the Solana ecosystem, what is another ecosystem on your radar? And for example,
There's two.
Please.
One, as a caveat, I sit on the foundation for Sui, which is an incredible project. That and Aptos are both Move-based. Sui kind of rewrote the whole thing from scratch and have built other stuff around it. Those, I think, you're starting to see other people, Chris Benisky, Melton Demiris, talking about EVM, SVM, MVM. And I think that's probably right. So those are on my radar screen. Obviously, I'm on the foundation, so I'm somewhat biased, but I see behind the curtain the amount of kind of activity and who they talk to and how it talks. The other one is the Cosmos ecosystem. So Celestia would be the obvious one there. There's a few others within that ecosystem. And that is those are the two ecosystems that look like, okay, what is the next big layer one ecosystem? It's one of those two, I think, unless something else randomly comes out of nowhere.
We just did a dedicated video for the Sui and Sui in general and the Sui ecosystem. So a lot of things to like. They have a killer team. So I definitely understand.
Yeah. Yeah, they really are super high quality people. I mean, I'm blown away by them. So we'll see.
The Bitcoin ecosystem. You're an NFT guy. Doesn't have to be for NFTs, but in general, is that a viable ecosystem you're looking at?
I don't use my judgment, because what do I know? I just look at the people being involved in it. I'm seeing more venture capital. I'm seeing the Bitcoin maximalist getting kind of pushed into less relevance by people who want to build the more open, interesting, useful Bitcoin ecosystem. We're seeing incredible activity in ordinals. There is going to be some other layer twos. I think there'll be Bitcoin meme coins, which will really piss off the maxis. But I think Bitcoin really needed this because it needed other types of activity. So I think it's good. I think it's very positive. And, you know, the people I respect and trust, whether it's hedge funds I invest in or whether it's other people in the space and VCs, they're all saying, listen, you got to focus here. I'm not really focused on it, but I think it's a very valid thesis.
And it's early. And it is early. For Solana, you mentioned Fire Dancer. For the folks at home, could you explain what that is?
So Fire Dancer is basically a validator of Solana. It's in testnet right now. It's basically another way of accessing the Solana network. It was built by Jump Trading, which is a high-frequency trading firm that's deep into crypto. And they built it to be fast enough for high-frequency trading. high frequency trading is basically limited. So the game in high frequency trading is to be the fastest with seeing the order flow and putting your orders in. That uses massive fiber optic cables of the shortest possible length, because what they're using is the speed of light. So they say, well, it's impossible to do that in Ethereum or Solana or anything. So you need something that operates at a quantum change, a step change in speed. So they built a new version of Solana, which will run, which you can choose as your validator. If Solana's theoretical transactions per second is 65,000, this is theoretically 1 million. So it's like it's an entire game change. So what does that enable? Why am I interested in it? Because things like some of the two initiatives from Solana, one was compressed NFTs, allow you to create a million NFTs for $100. We're seeing that on layer twos as well, like Base, but we're not at layer one level. Okay, Solana's a whole different game. So that makes it very cheap. So you can use NFTs for other things, not high-end art or stuff. You can use it for tickets or whatever, high-frequency stuff. Now, if you've got a chain that operates at the speed of financial markets, well, now you can tokenize exchanges. You can put exchanges on the blockchain like NASDAQ. Okay, that gets really interesting. Now, this tech stack's not ready. It won't be this cycle, but we'll see people using this new speed and low latency for interesting stuff, and it'll build a narrative. Next cycle, we'll see the launch of stuff on it. So that's how I think about this. This is like, we've just unleashed two superpowers and we will start to see people experimenting with it and the narrative building. Next cycle, we'll actually see projects coming out on it. But it is a game changer for the entire crypto space, and most people aren't aware of it yet.
Hey everyone, we're going to take another quick break and hear a word from our partners. We'll be right back.
All of us together are living through the death of an old world and the birth of a new one. This is a fourth turning, but this is not the fourth turning of demographics or politics. This is the birth of the new technological age. This new world has a world of 3D printed rockets, crypto payments in space, discussions on the rights for humanoid robots, machine intelligence that may outperform our own, simulated worlds where autonomous AI agents write code for other autonomous AI agents. It's a world full of opportunity and full of difficulty too. You see, we are living history and it's happening much, much faster than any of us can comprehend. This is Reed's Law, Metcalfe's Law squared. Humanity has never gone through anything like this. But we have to comprehend and understand what is happening. It is into this world that The Exponentialist is born. The Exponentialist is a new service from me, Raoul Powell, and David Matin, author of New World, Same Humans. It's an almanac of the fastest period of change ever witnessed in the human history. A period of excitement, exhilaration, difficulty, and terror. And The Exponentialist really is for humans first and investors second. Yes, the opportunities are enormous all round. To find out more and get our special launch pricing, go to realvision.com/the future.
I saw this thing on Twitter a week or two ago, maybe you did, that it was, maybe it was FUD, I don't know, but like 70% of all transactions on Solana fail or something like that. Have you seen that? And does this solve it?
So no, it doesn't solve that. Right now, the network's overwhelmed because of massive use, because of meme coins and other stuff. And we've seen this in ETH in the past as well, where it just gets overwhelmed with activity. So they're putting through fixes now to increase the bandwidth, essentially, the ability to deal with all of the transactions that need to happen. I think the TPS is basically the speed and number of transactions without it getting clogged, but you need compute power behind it as well. So yes, we've seen Solana transactions failing right now only because of the sheer demands of the network, much like you can overrun a broadband network or a mobile phone network. It's all the same thing. And so what you need is more compute. So you need more compute, a few fixes, make things a bit faster. So it's not broken per se, it's just being tested to its limits, which I actually think is very bullish, particularly if they put a decent patch through, and before you know it, it opens up the network again.
And to be fair, Solana's biggest haters, the Cardano community, the AVAX community, whatever, wish they had a problem like this, but then they can easily snipe at you when all the energy is on the Solana blockchain.
Yeah, well, remember we had the same in ETH back in 2021, right? The NFT craze that happened on ETH, it was massive. And it just, over plus DeFi, plus everything else, suddenly overwhelmed ETH. The gas fees went up, the network was clogged, you couldn't get transactions through. That's actually a good sign. It shows you got product market fit.
Your thesis for Bitcoin discussed earlier in this conversation was at least a $200,000 Bitcoin top of cycle. For Solana, is that your biggest bet in crypto today, where's that put Solana?
Look, we don't really know, but I would assume that if Solana's at 200-ish today, right, for it to go up 100% would be, in crypto summer, would be highly unusual. At least 300% would be pretty standard. That would be ETH all-time highs versus the previous all-time highs of that high. So that would put it 600. So let's mark that as, like, that's a reasonable spot. You know, if I use a few charts and a bit of, you know, log charts, I get somewhere between 800 and 1200. In a complete bubble cycle, I think it can go above 2000. In a short stunted cycle, 750, something like that. But it's still all to play for, is the point.
Raul, you gave some of the best advice earlier this year on your channel. Don't F this up, meaning don't lose your money by speculating in the crap. Stick to the quality, stick to your plan. I have followed that advice thus far. I'm not effing it up. What's another piece of advice you have for me?
Well, within that, there's a few things. One is, don't use leverage. Because the entire game in this adoption curve of crypto, where the whole market cap is going from, let's say, $2.7 trillion today to maybe $10 or $12 trillion at the end of this cycle, to maybe $100 trillion by 2035 or something, right? The entire game is to be in the game. Now, when you use leverage, if the market pulls back, you lose your coins. You're out of the game. Don't be out of the game. Also, don't get distracted from the game. The game is in the mass adoption of the big stuff. The small stuff, do that for fun. Another thing, another way to lose money is doing stuff you shouldn't really be doing, which is suddenly you see high yield somewhere and you're like, oh, I want to get that. Right? These markets go up 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, you know, 500% plus. You don't need to earn 10% yield or 15% yield. You don't, because a yield comes with risk. The only risk-free yield is staking yields when you stake it yourself, but you still have the price risk of Ethereum falling or Solana falling or whatever. But the smart contract risk is almost zero. Soon as you start going out of that world, you're now going out the risk curve. It's like lending to the government versus lending to your friend. You should get higher yields from it because it's riskier, because the chances are they won't pay you back. So that's another thing I think people need to be cautious of. And the other way people get caught out is leaving balances on stuff like MetaMask, thinking it's my wallet, it's fine. And before you know it, you've clicked on a stupid link, your wallet's been drained. For goodness sake, keep most of it on a Ledger or a Trezor, or at worst in Coinbase, or one of the big exchanges. But don't just leave it in places that are vulnerable, because your job is not to lose your tokens. That's the one rule of this, is don't part with your tokens. So you just be really, really careful.
AI and crypto. I remember I had you on back in 2022, and you said everybody's trying to fit together this narrative, and the only thing crypto does solve is maybe not repeat the same mistakes that we made in Web 2, where all the power flows to these big central players. Since then, because of NVIDIA and Web 2 news, AI crypto, the sector has popped off. What are your thoughts?
I think it's narrative chasing, but there is stuff going on. You know, render, okay, because you're using decentralized compute. There's, you know, Tau. There's a bunch of these yet to be proven, yet don't have network effects at scale. So it's speculative, which is why these things move a lot. And that's fine. I think that narrative holds. We'll see whether we actually get product market fit, but we won't know till the end of this cycle and maybe into next cycle. The other one that took off, I spent a lot of time talking about digital ID, because in a world, particularly in an election year, you don't know what the hell is real and what is fake, right? And the fakes are going to get better and better and better. And I completely screwed up that obvious bet, which was people have been looking for the answers to this. And the answer in front of our eyes was WorldCoin, which everybody hated, which was always a good sign. And I was here in Cayman and I hosted a panel because their foundation's based here. And I asked them the cynical questions. I'm like, why the hell did you launch with the all? You know, what were you trying to do? And they're like, well, we like the technology. And people think the narrative's wrong. It's like, oh, they're scanning my retina and they're storing the data, which is none of that's right. It's just proving you're a human. And it looks at your iris to prove that you're living as a human. So it can prove it. But I said, what is the reason for this token? You know, because you've got this kind of, we're giving you world coins to join the network, blah, blah, blah. They've got this beautiful wallet passport. I'm like, what's the reason? Sam Altman realized in 2020 he was going to screw up everything with AI and nobody knew who was real and who's not. So he thought, we need WorldCoin. I'm like, if you'd just led with that narrative, the price would have been 10 times higher. And then stupidly, I completely mid-curved it and talked myself out of it, when it's like, Sam Altman think good is clearly a good enough bet. And it went up 10x and I missed it.
Raul, in our final 5 minutes, I want to play a game. Feel free to say no. We can always cut this part out, but let me just show you. I'm going to share my screen. I don't know if you've seen these ranking systems for crypto. I pulled the top, you know, they're all on the first page. If you would, I'd love to rank the top 25 cryptos.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, I don't know the answer to most of this.
These are just your opinion. These are your opinion.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, you know, a lot of stuff I just don't even bother looking at, but go on, let's try it.
Okay. And just, you know, S tier, this is like the A plus, and then it's all obvious from here, but maybe start with Bitcoin. Where would you put Bitcoin?
Yeah, so that's S tier. And what are we ranking it via? Meaning?
I would rank it by overall, will it be here in 10 years, let's say? And
okay, great.
Is it quality at the moment, thinking long-term?
Okay, great. That's pretty straightforward. So I would put ETH and SOL in the S tier.
Okay. SOL. And, oh my God, did I not put ETH? Wait, let me add ETH real quick. I don't think you can see this, but let's see. ETH. Perfect. And these are obvious, but as we go on, you know, I'll just give a sentence as to why. But how about Chainlink?
No, I'm going to put Doge in A.
Really?
It has outperformed Bitcoin. It has gone through new highs every cycle. It is a cockroach. You cannot kill it. And it captures public attention. So it's an A. It's categorically an A. It has no use case. Maybe Elon will use it. And yet it's done 40,000% returns. So I'm sticking it there.
True. I get it.
Okay. Let's put XRP. I would put that at a B, because there is use case. They have a strong business development team. It has been around a long time. It hasn't got full traction. Doesn't look like it's going away. Doubt it's going to be the best performer either, but it's probably going to be around and have some value.
And they have been through the SEC lawsuit, so at least they're cleared compared to the others.
That's right. It's just missing the larger adoption element, but they may solve it. Okay. You need to give me what some of these are.
Cardano.
Okay, let's take WIF. That's an easy one. I'm going to give that a C, because I think it's going to be the meme coin of this cycle, and it will have persistence into the next cycle. Like Shiba Inu will and Floki will from previous cycles. I put ApeCoin sadly in D because I still own it. But I'm not sure. I mean, I like the Yuga team. Let's see if they do anything. Okay. What are some of these other ones?
So Cardano, Solana, ETH competitor. You know Cardano.
Yeah, Cardano is a meme coin in my mind because it's just not. It's you know, networks are valued by the number of people using it and the overall activity. It is like Doge. There's a huge app network of retail, but really it hasn't got product market fit. I doubt it's going away either, regardless of what the market thinks. So I'll put it next to XRP.
And then Chainlink, working with all the L1s?
Yeah, I think Chainlink, look, it can be replaced by other technologies, other ways of interoperability. So I'll put it at B as well. I think it's likely to be around. B.
And then Cosmos?
It's still, I mean, it's been around for a while, but it's early and it still hasn't proven itself with adoption or through cycles. So I put it at a B again. It's got a reasonable probability. Don't know if it becomes the biggest thing or not.
The graph indexing information in blockchain, like BigQuery?
I think it's a C. I think it's possible, but yet to scale big enough.
Polygonmatic, the ETH layer 2.
The problem is you can introduce layer 2s all the time, as we've just seen with Base. So I'm not sure the persistence of it, but it has some sort of size. I would put it as either a B or a C. I'm going to put it as a C just to be nasty. Not that I dislike it or anything else, but there's a lot of innovation in layer 2s.
And by the way, for the folks at home, the comment section, the important thing is the conversation. Like, all of us have our own lists, obviously.
I don't want a hatred because I put your favorite bag somewhere lower down the list.
For sure.
You may be right. I may be wrong. You know, I don't live and die by this. The top three I'll live and die by, and maybe Doge I'll probably live and die by. The rest, doesn't really matter.
That's fair. VeChain, their supply chain management originally on the blockchain.
D.
Binance coin.
I think it's a B. It's a clear same as those others. I mean, it's had reasonable adoption, but the base innovation from Coinbase split some of that out. But I think it's a solid B.
Aave used to be top 20. Now is probably top 70. It's still blue chip DeFi.
I would put that into the B category again.
Polkadot, ETH, Solana competitor. Layer 0, some say.
Yeah, I'll put that into the B. I think it's solid. It's been around a long time. It's a good team. Just needs to get traction.
AVAX. And again, an L1. These guys have subnets. They all have their own thing, L1s.
Yeah. I put that in a C because it needs to prove itself this cycle. We've seen some gaming activity, but it hasn't really yet proven itself beyond being an interesting fast chain with some flexibility.
Four left, Toncoin. If nothing else, they have the distribution factor of Telegram, I think. I'm not sure.
I'm going to give this a C. I think it'll persist because of Telegram. I just don't think it'll necessarily scale as much as people hope, but I don't know.
Tron, killing it right now for stablecoin usage in the Asian markets.
Yeah, because look, there is this bifurcation of the world between what the Chinese authorities will accept and what the Western authorities will accept. I'll put it as a C. There's quite a lot of risk around this one. I might even put it as, in fact, I'll put it as a D.
Injective in the Cosmos ecosystem, killing it thus far this cycle.
Don't really know, so C.
and BitTensor Tau. This is just right now the blue chip of AI coins, but
that's right. I would again put it in C because we're too early. So how I've ranked these, just as people know my methodology, is top, full network effects, people building, people owning. Doge, proven itself over three cycles. A very large base of retail. Doesn't necessarily need to build because it's meme-based. The Bs are stuff that are important into the space but have yet to get the traction of the S's. The C's are, listen, they're probably still around, but really it's too early to say whether they're going to migrate up the scale. And the D's are, you know what, these are unlikely to succeed.
Raul, I really appreciate it. This was epic. I appreciate you playing ball. You know, you're a busy guy. That was for fun, but thank you for joining me today.
Not at all. And listen, we've got, just talking about the Don't Fuck It Up, we've got a Festival of Learning at Real Vision coming up, which is on April the 18th and 19th. It's free to join. And we've got like my big picture thesis that I've just recorded, so you'll get that. Things like three ideas in Solana ecosystem. There's a trade doctor, how to be a degen, what not to do, how to trade meme coin, all sorts of really good stuff to learn. And I know everybody who watches your show, that they want to learn. They want to learn how to get things better. So just go to realvision.com/festival, sign up. It's free. You'll get tons out of it. And hopefully it'll help you in your journey.
The link is down below. And by the way, one of the best decisions I made this year was subscribing to your YouTube channel, Raul the Journeyman, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
That's epic. And that's an easy subscribe. Again, linked down below for both of them, but awesome perspective.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. Try to do it a little bit differently. Take people on this kind of slightly broader journey. It's all going to the same place, but just getting people there in this journey.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. At Real Vision, we arm you with expert knowledge, time-efficient tools, and a powerful network to help you succeed on your financial journey. Get a taste of financial freedom with our free offer at realvision.com/free. That's realvision.com/free.